All right, let's open our Bibles once again to the book of the Revelation, chapter 21. Chapter 21. Before I read the scripture, I want to tell you a little story about our guide called them Thelma and Louise over in Israel. And Margie and Baker and Shirley Phipps, and they're related somehow, I think. And but anyway, they went on one of the trips with us over there, and on that trip, we went down to Egypt, and we spent three and a half days, something like that, down in Egypt, and we went through the Sinai on a bus, and so we had to go through the Sinai, the Sinai crossing, the border there, and it's no trouble leaving Israel and going into Jordan or Egypt or any of the other nations. It's not a problem going out of Israel into one of those other nations. The problem is when you come back. All right, and so we had a full bus, and so we had like 72 people on that bus. It was the big bus. And all of our luggage was underneath the bus. And so they made us get all of that luggage out, and they went through every bag, they went through it. And so then one of them had the idea, the brilliant idea, that they better check the bags that we had on inside the bus. And so we had all gotten back on the bus again. So about three or four of those Israeli soldiers, full uniform, the helmet, you know, the pistol, the Uzi around their necks, the whole nine yards. They, you know, they're just kids. Okay, they're just kids. That's all they are. They give you the impression that you better be scared to death of them, because you know, this is serious business when you cross in, because terrorists are always after us, and you know, give you the whole nine yards. So we got on the bus, and they're talking amongst themselves, and I later found out they're talking in Hebrew, and I didn't understand what they were saying, but I asked Danny, our guide, and Danny said, told me what they were talking about, and they were talking about how they were going to have be able to look into everybody's bag. And so while they were sitting there trying to figure that out, an alarm clock went off. An alarm clock. You know, like a timer on a bomb. You know what I mean? Like a timer on a bomb. And I stood up and I turned around and I looked and I saw Margie's face and Shirley's face, and I knew in an instant who was the problem. And I went running back there and I said, "Don't just look at me, get that." So Shirley reaches down, grabs it out, and pulls out this little alarm clock with the two little bells on the top and a little thing, just a bing in between them. And that's when Danny started calling them Thelma and Louise. And, it was hilarious. And then the next day, they got off the bus and they came out, came off the bus, and I'm standing there directing traffic, telling everybody where to go when they got off the bus, and I looked down, and they each had on a brown shoe and a black shoe, so I went, "Hey, Thelma, Louise, come here." So they So they walked over, and they both had that grin on their face, you know, like you know, they're up to something. And I said, you guys got everything? Yeah, yeah. I said, you got your coat? Yep. You got your jacket? Yep. You got your purse? Yep. You got your shoes? Yep. Uh-oh. And each one had half their shoes. All right. Oh, my. I'll never forget that as long as I live. It was so funny. They're both characters, that's for sure. All right. Let's begin reading, please, in verse 9. And we're going to read down to verse 21. All right, so let's begin. Look at verse 9. It says, there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 4 gates, 3 gates. Now notice, please, if you will, notice that it starts with, in verse 13, the east, all right? The east. The east plays a very, very important role all the way throughout the Bible. And we all know that the sun comes up in the east, right? We all know that. And then you have the eastern gate, which is the beautiful gate that I preached about Sunday morning. The east plays a very important role. We are told that wise men came from the east to worship the Lord Jesus. And then Eden is portrayed as being in the east. And so it's the east is very important. All right, verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city. So the angel had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So if you have something that the length and the breadth and the height are equal, you have a cube, right? It's a cube, all right? And that's what we're supposed to see from that. Then it says in verse 17, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third the chalcedony, The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, that word, chrysoprasus. The 11th, a jacinth. The 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, and as it were transparent glass. What a description. What an amazing description. And I hope while I was reading this that you were visualizing that in your mind and getting a mental picture of what the angel showed John. All right, let's pray, and then we will pick it up right here. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for the Word of God, and I pray you'll bless as we look at your Word. I ask you to just help me as I speak, and then bless our folks as they listen. And Father, I pray that your Word will ring in our hearts tonight. We will give full concentration to what's being said. And then, Father, you teach our hearts tonight. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So strengthen our faith tonight, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are in the restoration period. We have gone through the book, and we have seen the rapture. We have seen the ruin, the tribulation period. We have seen the return, the second coming of Christ. We have seen the reign, the 1,000-year millennial reign. And now in chapter 21 and 22, we are going to read and study about the restoration period. This is the new heaven and the new earth and eternity. All right, the old earth, we have learned, has been dissolved. It has passed away, and now there is a new heaven and a new earth. And this heaven that John saw was the city of God, the city of gold, the new Jerusalem, and it comes down out of heaven, and it appears to hang over the city of Jerusalem with all of its splendor and all of its glory. Now you'll remember that we found out earlier that during this time, when the bride comes down, when the city comes down, you remember in verse 4, it says that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So everything now is new. Everything has become new. And we have a new Jerusalem, and we have a new earth. Everything is now sin-free. The effects of sin are gone. The devil's gone. The beast is gone. The false prophet is gone. Sin is gone. There is, and all the effects of sin are gone. And so there is a restoration of the earth and of heaven. Now, I want you to notice in verse 9 that John recognized an angel that showed up and revealed to him the city and explained it all to him. John saw this angel, and when he did, he recognized this angel as as the one that brought the seven last plagues that were poured out upon the earth at the end of the tribulation period. Now you remember there were three sets of judgments, and there were seven judgments in each of the three. And when you get to the last one, the first one was the seal judgments, and it's like a scroll, and the seal was open, and then the judgment happened. And then there was the trumpet judgments, and the trumpet judgments happened when the angel that brought it blew the trumpet, and the judgment began. And then in chapter 15, we read about the coming of the bowl judgments. A bowl is like a vial. Like a little glass container or pottery container that would hold perfume or hold an herb or a spice of some kind, and so when those when that angel came, he unleashed the seven bowl judgments, and the point is that John recognized this angel in verse 9. Look carefully at it. He recognized this angel in verse 9 as the angel that had the seven vials in his hand that were a part of the seven last plagues. And those seven last plagues were the bowl, the vial judgments. And what did this angel say to John? Well, he said, "Come here. I want to show you something." And so when John went with him, he was then shown the great city of God, the great new heaven and new earth. And the whole idea is that this heavenly city, this city of God, would now be the capital of all the nations throughout eternity. For as long as eternity rolls. You say, well, how long is that? As long as God lives. You with me?
Amen.
And God's eternal.
Right.
So as long as God lives, then that's how long that this new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven and where the Lord tabernacles with us. In other words, you and I who are saved are going to have access. We can go from the earth to the heavenly city. We can go from here to there. And we can go from there back to here. Okay? And we're going to be able to have that opportunity throughout all of eternity. That will be the home of the saints for all of eternity. Now, folks, from what I can gather here, this marvelous city is seen suspended in the heavens, flashing her rays of glory to the earth. Its people have great concern for everything that is going on there, as well as everything that is going on the earth. And if you'll remember, the Bible says in the very first book, in the very first verse of the very first chapter, the Bible says that God brought heaven and earth together in perfect harmony.
Amen.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So there was a time when the earth was in complete harmony with the atmosphere, with the world above us, okay? But we know what happened, don't we? Sin entered into the picture. And with sin came the curse upon sin. And God pronounced a curse first upon the devil, and then he pronounced a curse on man, that man would have to work. That's why we have to work. All right? We have to work. And then a curse upon the woman, and her curse was in childbearing, and that she would have to be in subjection to the authority of her husband. And then fourthly, God pronounced a curse upon creation. And that's why today that we have these crazy weather patterns that we're seeing. That's why we have tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and volcanoes and the rest of it. Hailstorms, wind storms, because there is a curse upon the earth, and it is constantly fighting against us. That's why the animals fear us.
Right.
That's why they fear us. Karen and I went a couple years ago, went down and spent the evening at Holly River State Park, where we went on our honeymoon, and we decided to go and look at it and see if it changed and hadn't. It same thing, and we got one of those old fashioned cabins, and right outside they bring firewood, set it in a little rack for you. And you can sit outside and build a fire and just take it easy and kill mosquitoes. And so we were sitting there by the fire, and all of a sudden I saw something move. I looked over, and here came a deer. And it walked right up to me and started nuzzling my hand like, "Come on, man, feed me." So I got up, went inside, and got some peanuts. It was one of those planters cans about that high, and it had peanuts and it had sunflower seeds in it, and some other stuff. So I just went out. I would pour it in my hand and hold it out, and that doe would just stand there and just eat out of my hand. Well, the game warden came by. He said, "Sir, please don't feed that animal." I said, he came up to me. I didn't go up to him. And I said, "If you're going to arrest anybody, arrest him." But the whole point is, you know, you can train an animal, but they're still wild.
Right.
You can train one. I mean, you hear about it all the time. So-and-so got mauled by a tiger. Well, dummy, you ought not be messing with a tiger. You know, I mean, I'm sure your mama gave you some sense. And here you are with a whip, and you're messing with a tiger. Shame on you. And same with crocodiles, yes. Exactly. Boy, did I open a can of worms, man. I'm in so much trouble. You would not believe it. Oh, the memes that have been sent over the airways in the last 3 days. Unbelievable. But that's why the animals fear us, because of that curse. Okay, now, remember our description here. Rapture, ruin, return, reign, restoration. Now, before sin, then man had dominion over all the earth.
Right.
He had dominion over the animals. Don't forget, it was Adam who named all the animals. Okay, so what happened? Sin. And when sin happened, that drove a wedge between man and God, woman and God, the devil, of course, and God, and creation and us. That wedge was driven deep. And so sin now has been dealt with. When you get over here to chapter 21, sin has been dealt with. It's been handled. And the great deceiver, the devil, he's in bonds. All right? He's in bonds. He is chained and cast into the lake of fire. And once again, heaven and earth are brought together in the closest harmony. And you have the city of God hanging right over the earth. And that city is going to do some amazing things that we'll see in the next couple of weeks. All right, now, here's what I want you to see. Notice, first of all, I want you to notice John's impression. Look at verse 9 down through verse 14, and you will see John's first impression. Look at verse 9. John, first of all, noticed the mystery of the heavenly city. You see, folks, the city is closely linked to, with the bride. All right, notice that. Look at what the angel says to John. Come and see the bride. All right, now what? A bride is a woman. Right? A bride is a woman. You better say yes. You know, the bride is a woman. But and that's what he says. Come see the bride, the Lamb's wife. The Lamb's wife. Now, who is he asking John to see? He's asking him to see a literal city, but he's also asking John to see that we are in that city. All right? We are the Lamb's bride, the church. So he says, John, come, and let me show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, Notice in your book of the Revelation here that from chapter 17, Babylon was also set forth as in this dual way. Babylon was set forth as a city, but also as a harlot. Now, what's a harlot? A woman. You with me? All right, so Babylon was set forth that way in chapter 17. Look back to chapter 17 for just a moment. And look at verse 1, chapter 17 and verse 1, lest you think I'm making all this up. Let me read it for you. It says, and there came one of the seven angels. So there's another one of those seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now look down at verse 5. It says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Verse 6, and I saw the what? Woman. There it is. Okay, so you've got in chapter 17, you've got Babylon described in this dual fashion. She's a woman, but she's also a kingdom, a city, a way, a religion, if you will. All right, a way that captures the hearts of men, like a religion does. Okay, so come and see now in chapter 21, verse 9, come and see the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, folks, listen, what a mystery this is. I mean, do you not remember that the Bible says that Abraham, by faith, was looking for a city? You remember that? He was looking for a city. What was he looking for? He's looking for this. He never found it, did he? No, he never found it, because it's not here yet. But you know, when we think of heaven, we don't think of a cube that is made of pure gold that has streets of pure gold, so pure you can see through it. 12 gates, each gate one pearl. Mercy, can you imagine the size of those oysters? Huh? It'd be huge. And has anybody ever seen anything like that? And it's just hanging over Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem, just hanging there? Mercy. I'm telling you, folks, it's a mystery. We see twice that the city is said to descend from heaven. We've never seen anything like that. I mean, never. A couple years ago, I think it was two years ago, maybe three now. I went down to Larn and Ava's and that other guy. I went down to watch Ava compete in the state or in the regional championships in track. And I had read that morning that there was going to be a SpaceX launch, and then Lauren tells me we're going over just about 5 or 10 miles north of Cape Kennedy for this track meet, and I said, oh. So I went back and looked and saw what time the launch was supposed to be. Well, when I saw what time the launch was supposed to be, I climbed up the bleachers and got as high as I could get, and then I just looked to the south. And boy, in no time, I saw this flame. This looked like a big Roman candle going up. And that thing, I mean, it was amazing. Everybody stopped. Everybody was watching it. And then I had read in the paper that once you see that thing and it gets, you know, pretty much out of sight, you're going to see something that you have never seen before. It said the two booster rockets are going to come back to Cape Kennedy. And they had two pads about, I don't know, they're not very far apart, maybe as far as from that side of the church to this side of the church. And they have a bullseye on them, both of them. And it said that when that thing gets up about 10, 12 minutes into its flight, then you start looking and listening for those two rockets to come back, those two boosters. And so I'm standing there looking up, and everybody else is looking this way, watching it go, and I'm looking down this way. And the guy beside me said, "What are you looking for?" I said, "The boosters are coming back." He goes, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, watch. They said you'd be able to see them." And I stood there and watched, and about, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds after I said that, here they came. And just, I mean, you could see the fire coming out of the bottom, and side by side, they came down. You heard the biggest breaking of the sound barrier. I mean, we were miles away, but we could hear it. And it just echoed when it hit. And then we watched those two things land side by side. That man looked at me and he said, "Man, I have never seen anything like that in my life." I said, "No, I haven't either." He said, "Wasn't that amazing?" I said, "Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, yeah, but that's exactly what the guy in the newspaper said. We're going to see something we've never seen before." Well, folks, listen, you ain't seen nothing yet. You just wait until the millennium is over and the devil is cast into the lake of fire and the great white throne has taken place and all of sin and darkness has been cast into that lake and the place is sealed up. And then all of a sudden, here's going to come that city. And it's going to stop just at the right spot. And it's going to shine. It will have the glory of God in it. Amen. And it will shine. Can you imagine that, folks? You haven't seen anything yet. You say, "Well, Pastor, how can this be?" Well, hang on now. The God who created the heaven and the earth, well, it's not going to be any problem for him to suspend the new Jerusalem over the earth. It's not going to be a problem for him. I mean, he raised his son from the dead. Wait a minute. He redeemed you. If God can save you, well, my goodness, he could do about anything, couldn't he?
Amen.
Amen. All right, one more little observation here. This angel, in verse 9, well, we're moving, aren't we? We're stuck in verse 9. I've fallen and I can't get up. All right, this angel, although he is not identified by name, was recognized by John as one of the seven angels chosen to administer the final set of judgments, the bowl, the vial judgments of chapter 15 and verse 1. Now, it may be significant, I'm sure it is, that there are, after chapter 15 and verse 1, let me read you 15:1. It says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now, from 15:1 to 21:9, there are a total of seven mentions, references to angelic activity found with 15:1 being the first one and 21:9 being the last one. All right, did you get that? They are 17:1, chapter 17:1. They are 18:1-3, and then 18:21, then 19:10 and 19:17, and then 21:6. All right, so there are seven of these mentions. Now, we're clearly told in the first or the second one, go back to 17:1 real quick. All right, 17:1 real quick. And notice it says, and there came one of the seven angels. One of the seven. Now look at 21:9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. So notice please, that the angel connected to these seven final mention of angels were connected to the angels that brought the seven bowls. So, if the first and the last are, and it is probable, if those angels were the Lord Jesus, as many think, then it is probable that the other five were the angels were the Lord Jesus himself too. All right? So that's, and I personally think that it is. And notice that the first angel told John, or the second angel told John to come hither in order to see the great harlot. But the last one told him, come hither, same words, in order to see the bride, the Lamb's wife. In both cases, John was shown a city, a great city. Babylon, in chapter 17:1, is the first one, and Jerusalem is the last one, the last city, Babylon, Jerusalem. Notice the two in conflict with each other, parallel to each other. All right? Now notice, in one, he saw thrown down. John saw in one, the city was thrown down in great violence to disappear forever. Look at chapter 18 for just a moment. And verse 21, it says, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city, what? Babylon. Shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Destroyed. That city, John saw destroyed. Now, the other one, John saw coming down from heaven, not to be destroyed, but to endure forever. See the contrast? Babylon destroyed. The new Jerusalem endures forever. Amen. Now, which side are you, which city you want to live in? I don't think there should be any debate on that, do you? You see, Babylon was a monstrous system of spiritual and political wickedness, and also, but it was also the literal city which served as the capital of that system. And the New Jerusalem will also be both a glorious literal city as well as the universal tabernacle dwelling place of God. And it will be an eternal and unbound, unfettered kingdom of righteousness. Amen. What a contrast. What a contrast. So when you read chapter 21, please go back and contrast the New Jerusalem with the old Babylon. Go back and see that whole thing develop. And what you've got is victory. Amen. From the side of the Lord. Yes. Amen. All right, well, we got a half a verse done. That's better than nothing, isn't it? All right, I got to stop, though. We're out of time. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for giving us this tremendous verse. What a blessing it is to know that we're on the winning side. And I just pray that you will help us to stop and look at this whole scenario here. Look at the whole scene. And we see sin defeated. We see the city of Babylon defeated, the system, that rebellion. We see it all defeated. We see the devil cast into the lake of fire defeated, the beast and the false prophet defeated. And Father, we also continue reading, and there we see the city of gold. And we see victory. And we see light. And we see the dwelling place throughout eternity for us as well as the God who redeemed us. And I pray you'll bless this to our hearts and help us to realize what the Lord Jesus, our great Savior, has promised and what he's going to do for us. And when that trumpet sounds, we're going up to be with him so that this wonderful salvation that he has made for us can be completed. We'll receive a new body, a glorified body, one that will last for eternity and no more sin. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for these wonderful things that you have prepared for us. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.